Yeah, welcome to the show. It's Ringside Report MMA tonight. What's next for Conor McGregor? We're going to preview UFC Vegas 31, Thiago Moises versus Islam Makhachev, and Nick Diaz coming back to fight Robbie Lawler. Let's do it! That is actually happening. That's actually a fight. Nick Diaz, Robbie Lawler. The UFC's really doing that, guys. What's up, dudes? How you guys feeling?
Time.
How you feeling, Freddie?
Is it official?
Yeah, it's official. UFC 266. It's a 5-round co-main event going down September 25th. Official, like a referee with a whistle. It will be the co-main event to... what's the main event? Volkanovski, Ortega. And then... Oh, damn. This is a big card. They got Volkanovski, Ortega, Valentina defending her title against Lauren Murphy, and then Nick Diaz, wow. Robbie Lawler in a 5-rounder. Diaz brothers come back, they get 5 rounds.
Yep.
They last fought 17 years ago at UFC 47. They're going to be fighting at UFC 266.
And that's crazy, maybe the fight, man, that made that got Nick Diaz known. Like, his knockout of Robbie Lawler was a beautiful one, and also he was trash talking, so the legend of Nick Diaz pretty much, like, maybe not got started there, but that was one of the first highlights of his career. And look, I'm happy for it. That's a great fight for the fans. I'm just gonna say right away, I'm picking Robbie Lawler. Both guys, like, have been inactive, but Nick has been really inactive, like, so I'm gonna go Robbie Lawler probably winning this one, and I wouldn't be surprised he finishes Nick.
Nick has not fought since January 31st, 2015. He has not won an MMA fight since beating BJ Penn in October 2011. 2011 is the last time Nick Diaz won a fight. However, Robbie Lawler has not won since he beat Donald Cerrone in 2017. So it's not like these guys are super active and super successful recently, right? Robbie has lost 4 in a row now. His last fight was a decision loss to Neil Magny in August of 2020. So Robbie has been less active, and he also hasn't picked up a win in 4 years. For Nick, it's been like 10 years since he won a fight. So it'll be nearly 10 years between wins if Nick is able to win.
That's the marquee fight on that card.
Oh, of course.
That's the fight that's going to be selling that card. They should be the main event.
Yeah.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
100%.
But Dave, when you look at it, the guy is 37 years old at this point, you know. But when you look at his overall record, he's 26-9. I mean, you know, you never know. Maybe rest, you know, ring rust is like set a long time ago, but he still stays in shape. He's very active. He does triathlons with his brothers. I mean, these guys are out there when it comes to, like, physical performance. But when it comes to the fighting scene, you're fighting Robbie Lawler, man. And we've seen some heavy, heavy fights with Robbie. Some fights that, like, you thought he won. But overall, we saw fights with Robbie where they were just brutal. Even if he hasn't won since 2017, like you said, it doesn't make a difference. It's Robbie Lawler. I'm kind of with Freddie on this, but my heart wants to see Nick win. And I love Robbie. It's just that, what would happen if Nick wins? It would be insane, man.
Less wear and tear on Nick than Robbie. I mean, Robbie became welterweight champion. He took some vicious beatings. He gave some vicious beatings. But he was in some fights, man, that were pretty damn rough. I don't know if he's ever been the same since that Rory McDonald fight. I don't know if Rory McDonald's ever been the same
either.
You know, that was one of the most brutal fights you will ever see. I don't think he's... Yeah. I mean, it's different. It's different. But Robbie...
Yes. Alcohol gives a big beating also, and Nick Diaz has been, like, on a party train for a couple of years right now, so I don't know. I got Robbie Lawler. Right now I need to be convinced, and honestly I'd be surprised I changed my mind. I got Robbie Lawler winning that one.
Robbie is 39 years old. Nick, only 37?
39. Yeah, 37, exactly, yeah.
I don't see betting odds for this fight. I would love to see betting odds for this one, but...
Yeah, they'll be coming up shortly, man. Like, they have
I like
to
it. It's probably going to be a stand-up war because Robbie.
Here we go.
Robbie likes to trade.
Robbie minus so 140, Nick plus 120. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It's going to be fun, man. It's going to be a fun one. It makes sense. I think it's a perfect matchup for. Because, like, right now, Nick Diaz, let's be honest, being inactive for what, 6 years, no wins in almost 10 years. He needs like a marquee matchup against a guy that's not going to kill him, you know. So that makes sense. I think it's a perfect matchup for him, and I'm happy to see him back.
Yeah, I'm happy to see it. I think it's a great matchup. This is the fight that I've been wanting to see for Nick Diaz for years. I feel like I've been on the show for years calling for this very fight, and it's finally happening again. So I'm pretty pumped. I'm kind of surprised that the UFC is actually doing it, but I am very excited. I think it's a great matchup for Nick, great matchup for Robbie, great fight for both of these guys at this stage in their careers. I don't think Robbie is going to get a more, you know, marquee matchup than Nick Diaz right now. I mean, you kind of look at what Robbie's been doing. You know, he fought Neil Magny in his last fight in a kind of uneventful type of deal. He got beat up by Kobe Covington before that, lost to Ben Askren before that, Rafael Dos Anjos. Like, you know, that the Dos Anjos fight was, you know, a big name, and Askren.
But he's fighting high-level guys.
Yeah, and now he's fighting, to go from Neil Magny, who's like, you know, in his prime or near his prime, still dangerous, doesn't make a lot of noise, isn't a high, he's high level, but he's not high value. You know, he's
commodity.
Not high visibility. He's not a celebrity. Like Nick, you go from fighting Neil Magny and losing, which is a shitty proposition for Robbie at this stage in his career. And then you turn around, you fight Nick Diaz. Like, this is a great fight for Robbie, man. This is great for him, and it's a good comeback fight for Nick Diaz. They're not throwing him in with the Wolves. He's not fighting. Like, I thought Nate got a shitty deal there when he had to fight Leon Edwards. You know, like, Leon Edwards is a guy in his prime. He's not a big name. They made Leon Edwards off of Nate Diaz. That's not the case here. This is a fight where it's two legends fighting each other to settle old scores. You know, they fought 17 years ago. Let's see it again. This is a... This works for both guys, so I'm happy with it. I'm happy with it. We got to talk about Conor McGregor.
You've been saying that forever, man.
What?
What?
What do you
say?
I said we got to talk about Conor.
No, I was
you wanted to say other things.
No, I was gonna say like you're right. You've been saying this for Nick to get back in the ring forever. I mean, you were calling out Dana. You were like, you know, it was supposed to happen time after time after time, and finally, 2021, you know,
time.
Here he comes. Boom.
It's
surprise. You know what? It's been such a It is a surprise, but it's been such a crazy year with COVID and the UFC and all the crazy shit that's been going on as far as last Saturday with Conor. Like, it's nice to see Nick come back. And you know what? I hope, like I said, deep down inside, I hope he wins because it'll be exciting, man. Just to see the Diaz brothers back in there and supercharged. And you know what? Robbie Lawler, man, he's coming to the end of his career, let's be honest. But again, like, Nick, when you think about it, he's 37 years old, man. You know, 37 years old. I don't know. That's going to be a fight that I won't put on my parlay, I can assure you.
All right. Well, we'll see if we can keep you to that in September when we preview this fight, AJ. We'll see what AJ's parlay is like tonight. We'll try and get you some winners tonight when we preview the UFC Vegas card coming up a little later on. Angelo dropping the super chat. What's up, Angelo?
Angelo!
Super chat leader of the night once again. Angelo won a big super chat battle with Harold last night. It was wild. Angelo was kicking ass, doing the damn thing. Jason Pete says if Nick wins versus Condit or something, I mean, yeah, that'd be cool, right? If Nick wins,
cool,
if Nick wins, it opens things up. If Nick wins, like, who knows? Who knows? Shout out to Franco. Shout out to Brooklyn Lizard. Of course, Jason Pete, our man out in Mexico, Lauren Cronish, Bob Burgers. Jason Pete, member of the team. Be like Jason, join the team. Be like Jason and Angelo, join the channel. Become a member of the Ringside Report team. Click that join button.
Wait, let
right
me give a shout out
the YouTube video. Let me finish the plug before you give your shout outs, motherfucker.
I want to give a shout out to my brother in law, Alberto, in
Del
London,
Rio.
England, man. Yeah, Del Rio. Hey,
Alberto
Mr.
Del
Wonderful
Rio?
Passed away.
Is your brother in law?
Well, you didn't know that.
I don't think that's
so. Anyways,
all right.
Listen, I was gonna say, well, he's in London, England, man. Power to you. You got this Italy win, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
He's still there, man. COVID. But anyways, yeah.
Rest in peace,
Mr. Wonderful. Passed away. I couldn't believe it. I even knew who he was.
I was saying rest in peace to Alberto. I thought he died of COVID. Anyways.
No, take it easy there, Dave.
Oh,
what
God
the hell, man?
Sorry. You said COVID. You know, he's still there. He's never coming back type of thing. You know, I don't know. Sorry,
well,
buddy.
Well, I mean.
We love you, Alberto.
Jesus, man. Alberto! My sister's going to flip out.
Del Rio. He's still alive, too. You remember that guy? He was good.
Not Mr. Wonderful.
No, Mr. Wonderful.
Paul Orndorff.
Dave's too young to appreciate Mr. Wonderful, but yeah. I appreciated Mr. Wonderful. He was a great wrestler.
Yeah, he was great. You are right though. I am too young. I don't really know that much about Mr. Wonderful. He's pretty cool though.
Well, he's wonderfully gone.
He was wrestling jacked when I started watching wrestling. So I was like, I'm a little bit older than you, so I'm not even sure you were born when Mr. Wonderful had his better years.
I don't think I was. I do not think that I was. Recipes to Paul Orndorff. Guys, recipes to Conor McGregor's MMA career. All right. I also want to give a recipes
for his ankle
to Conor's career as a top flight fighter in the UFC. Let's take a look at Conor McGregor from his Instagram. First of all, you know what? Forget Conor's Instagram and his like, hey guys, thank you for being my fans. Before we get to that, let's get to some disgusting remarks made by Conor McGregor inside the octagon after the fight. Did you guys see Conor McGregor threatening Dustin Poirier and his family with death after the fight? Did you see that? Because if you didn't, let me show you. Here's a clip that was posted to Twitter from a guy. Here we go. Let's see. Do I have it? Here we go. There we go. Give me a little volume on this, baby. Oh, that didn't work. Did it work? It didn't work. Let's try again.
Come on, go.
Shut up, AJ. Fucking AJ. Here we go.
Volume.
All right. In your sleep, you're getting it. You hear that? Listen, it's not over. You hear that? You see that? In your sleep, you're getting it. So it's a little bit hard to hear there, but you can obviously make out. In your sleep, you're getting it. You know, watch what you say. He's doing stuff like this. Dustin was saying that this is the kind of stuff that Conor was saying after the fight. Threatening his life with, you know, whatever, gun violence, you know, and his family, all sorts of stuff. He tweeted out a picture of Dustin Poirier and his daughter and wrote Gonzo and then deleted the tweet and deleted all that shit. Like, Conor went completely nuts after the fight. And it just, you know, it's a guy who can't win the fight. So he's like, I got to scare this guy some other way because I can't scare him in a physical way. He's got my number. So I'm going to say, oh, I'm going to kill you. You know, I hang out with those Irish gangsters in Ireland. Those guys are going to come get you, Dustin Poirier. Like, Conor's just grasping at this point because he's a desperate, beaten man. Desperation and just obliteration is what happened to him. 10-8 on two judges' scorecards. One judge scoring it at 10-9. TKO after 5 minutes. His ankle exploded. You could say it happened before. Conor's camp is saying, oh, the injury happened before. We had stress fractures in the leg. So why'd you fight, motherfucker? Why did you fight? Okay? And, you know, Dustin. Yeah. And Dustin is claiming, you could delay that shit if you want to. You're Conor McGregor. It's your fucking game, right? And Dustin is saying,
you made 190 million last year.
Yeah, he could do whatever the hell he wants. Dustin is saying that the injury happened in the fight. Some people are saying, well, Conor kicked him in the elbow, and that's when he hurt his thing. And some people are saying that Conor kicked him in the leg, and Dustin checked it, and that's where he hurt his ankle. Whatever happened, at the end of the night, it's a loss for Conor McGregor, a second straight loss to Dustin Poirier, second straight TKO loss. His body failed him in the cage. You come in there with what you have, your tools, your weapons. His weapons failed him on the night, and he can't take it. He can't take it, so he's threatening with other weapons that won't fail him, maybe. But it's all bullshit. We know it's bullshit. Number one bullshit. That's what this guy is. He's number one bullshit. And Conor McGregor, he showed his hand. He classless, and he exposed himself. He exposed how desperate he is, how lost he is, and where he is in this sport. and what he is to this sport right now. He's just, he's a sideshow attraction. And that's what I was telling you before the fight, and I'm even more convinced of it now. Dustin Poirier destroys Conor McGregor, like I told you he was going to do. Just an obliteration of Conor, a broken, beaten man with nowhere left to turn. AJ, your defense of Conor?
Yo, defend him.
If the glove don't fit, you acquit. Listen, I'm going to tell you
something.
He
was also guilty.
You know what this reminds me of? Yeah, well, sort of. But I'm going to tell you something. Well, if OJ is listening, because I know he listens, we
no, move
on.
The show. No, we don't. You're banned.
I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to tell you.
Tell me one thing.
I sent him an email already.
Well, so too bad.
But I'm going to tell you something. You know what this fight reminds me of? It reminds me of the Blair Witch Project. You remember that, Dave? The Blair Witch Project? Or are you too young for that? That is exactly what it comes down to. We don't know what the fuck happened at the end of that film and exactly what happened at the end of this fight. He broke his ankle. And he,
we know exactly
what
happened.
His ankle. No, we broke his ankle, but we don't know what's going to happen. If that didn't happen and it went to the second, we still have that question mark. Yeah, Poirier won the first round. You know, I watched that fight over and over again. I can assure you, Poirier won that round. But you know what? Everybody's talking about Conor as a one-trick pony and all this bullshit, and it gets me so mad. The guy doesn't have years like that because he's a one-trick pony. And in fact, on his back, he did very, very well, considering, you know, he threw elbows, he threw up kicks, he was doing what he needed to do. He went for a guillotine. No one-trick pony's going to go with a guillotine. You know what? Give
okay.
him some credit.
No, let's talk about that guillotine. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about what happened in the fight. Let's talk about what actually happens in the fight. Dustin Poirier starts beating the shit out of Conor, punching his face off, and Conor clinches up. Conor clinched him. Dustin pushes in for the takedown. Conor, knowing he's fucked, knowing he's about to get taken down, goes for a desperation front headlock to try and maybe get a guillotine that he knows isn't coming to him. Conor was in desperation mode early in that fight. Conor McGregor clinched up Poirier to initiate the clinch against the fence, which led to Poirier's takedown attempt, which led to Conor's weak-ass guillotine attempt that Poirier easily escaped. So don't go telling me that Conor's this fucking jujitsu Ryan Hall, fucking Marcelo Garcia guillotine fucking ace here, coming in with this fucking slick guillotine that he was going to pull off. He was nowhere near that guillotine. He only got to that position because of desperation, because he was losing the boxing match, which is what he's supposed to fucking win. And he did not win the boxing match. He lost the boxing match. He lost the MMA fight, and his fucking leg gave out on him. That's the story of the fight. 10-8 on two judges' scorecards. 10-8. So don't go telling me no bullshit about his jiu-jitsu game. Because, yeah, he's got cauliflower ears. But who fucking doesn't in the UFC? He's got a purple belt or a brown belt or whatever.
No, no, no,
sure,
I
he's
listen.
Fine. He's a great listen. Fighter. I love Conor McGregor as much as the next man. But he got beat to shit in that fight. And he clinched up because he was in trouble.
Did you see his face? Where was his face beat to shit? Just for his ear that cut like a fucking little prick that a little bit of blood came out.
No.
He looks pretty good. And when you get to the clip of 6 minutes, you're going to see how good he looks after surgery. You know what? Conor... You know what? He didn't fuck up. His ankle fucked up. Conor beat Conor, in my opinion.
Between.
And you know what? We'll never know. We'll never know what would have happened if it went to the second, third. We've seen that, and I said it on Thursday's show, or on Saturday's show, in fact. Let's remember Anderson Silva, Chael Sonnen. It's never over till the fat lady sings. I don't know if you can say that, if it's politically correct, thing. But I don't give a fuck. But it is the same thing, because we'll never know what can happen. Anything's possible, right? And Conor, like, if there's one thing with Conor that we
anything's
know,
possible.
He can come back
we understand
from,
that, AJ.
Anything is possible. Here we go.
So
come
between
on, Conor.
On a stretcher he was.
Can I say something
Jesus,
here?
Stand up.
That's between so fights two and three, who has evolved more was clearly Dustin Poirier. I mean, Conor had a good first round in the second fight. I gave him that round, but in the third fight, man, Conor like was losing from the beginning. So don't give me this like, Conor was
look how we started.
Doing good
Listen,
or Conor.
He came out
like,
firing.
If anything,
with
Poirier
reverse.
Looked better than he did in his last fight. I'm gonna say, and as far as what Conor did after the fight, I'm gonna give him sort of a pass that maybe it's emotions and he's not the classiest guy out there. The fight, man, this was all Poirier. And if anything, man, we're arguing for nothing here because Dana's going to give him a fourth match as soon as Conor is ready, and they're both going to make a lot of money. But I'll tell you what, from here to the next fight, who you think is going to be training seriously? Is it going to be Conor who has to rehab, or is it going to be Dustin Poirier that's fighting for a championship soon? Like, Dustin Poirier right now is taking his career to the elite level. I'm not convinced that Conor does that. Super chat.
I agree with you 110%, Fred. I think you're 100% right. I think that Dana White will definitely give Conor the rematch with Dustin Poirier as soon as Conor is ready to take that fight. I think as soon as Conor's rehab is done and he can train and he's back at it in a year or whatever, he'll fight Dustin Poirier no matter what.
Coach.
Even if Dustin Poirier beats Charles Oliveira, which is a fight likely to happen end of this year, early next, for the UFC lightweight title, even if Dustin beats him, which I think he will, I think Dustin beats Charles and becomes champion, I think Conor still gets a title shot despite the fact that he hasn't won a fight since beating Donald Cerrone a couple of years ago. Like, that's just what it is because he's Conor McGregor. And Dana White at the post-fight press conference said basically that. He was not satisfied with the outcome. He wanted to see it actually finished. He's disappointed that Conor went down the way he went down. The problem is, if you're looking at this objectively, you could see the writing on the wall for Conor McGregor. You don't get better.
Let me tell you something.
You don't get better. You don't have a second prime. I saw Khabib Nurmagomedov get interviewed this week by ESPN. It was really good, and Khabib is for sure retired. He is absolutely done. And he said it. You don't have two primes. You have one prime.
True.
You go up, you have your peak, and then once you hit your peak, you got to maintain, and you're on your way down. Conor's on his way down, and you don't get better at 33, 34 years of age, whatever he's going to be when he comes back, after a broken leg and surgery and a titanium thing in his leg. That doesn't make you better. Conor's trying to sell it like it does. Conor's trying to sell it like, he would have come back in the second round and beat Dustin. Conor's team, Conor's coach is saying, second round would have been interesting. Conor's coach said, I liked what I saw in the first round. Conor was doing well, and in the second round, it was going to be good. And Conor's saying basically the same thing. Michael Bisping came out and said, fire your coach. If your coach is watching you lose a 10-8 round, and he thinks it's good, fire him.
You know what, Bisping? You talk too much, man. Because
he's
right. George St. Pierre.
He's right.
George came out as a second peak. He came in after 30, and he clocked Bisping and took the title. So if you want to look at it this way, George is the proof that you can come back.
He did fight Adesanya or Costa or
win the championship.
Yeah, we're not talking about that. We're not talking about Bisping.
You know,
we're not
talking
about
it.
Yeah, you can talk about whatever you want because you want to change the subject because you know you're wrong, AJ. You know that Conor is absolutely done. The prime time Conor is over. He can fight Nate Diaz and maybe beat him, but the time of Conor McGregor fighting the elite of the division, the Gaethjes, the Oliveiras, the Poiriers, any guy like that, put Max Holloway in front of Conor McGregor today at 155 pounds. Max Holloway's beaten that ass. Conor's time is done. He's not elite anymore. It's over. And it's never going to happen again. And you could want it to happen, and Conor could, sell it to you because he's making money. He's a good salesman. He's good at tricking people. He's good at fooling the marks. And you could be a mark for Conor all you want, but I'm telling you the reality is it's over.
Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I said it last week on Saturday's show. I think the best thing that could have ever happened to Conor was for Conor to end a fight like it did. Yeah, in like a really gross way, but it was the best thing because you said it right. What's going to happen is that Dustin's going to fight Charles. He's going to take the belt. It's going to take Conor to probably a year to recover, but Conor will be back. And like we said, and you called me and you said, fuck, Dana is thinking exactly like you. He's going to give him that fourth fight. Why? Because it brings in pay-per-view sales, blockbusters. The guy, Conor, is on every major blockbuster like hit in the history of combat sports. And he did it again. And it's going to even bring more money when they hit that fourth fight, which has never happened before four fights. Conor's going to come back. Win or lose, Conor brings in the draw. But what I'm saying is that, look, anything could have happened. If that ankle break didn't happen, and if it's true that he had stress fractures on his ankle, and the reason that he went down on the ground was because, according to Connor, that's what he was doing in his training camp, because he had a problem with his ankle. So there could have been that shit. And you know, man, no matter how much money Connor has, when you make a contract with the UFC and it's at 264, big pay-per-view, he has to fight. If the leg doesn't break in training camp, they're going to pass it through. They hope. They're crossing their fingers that those stress factors don't open up. Unfortunately, it did. It was a weird way to go. And you know what? You got to give Connor some toughness, because he didn't just roll over. He kept taking those punches, and he wasn't, like, tapping out. And he was just going till the end of that round, and he did. So for toughness, yes. Do I agree exactly what he did after? Absolutely not. But again, Poirier's wife did pull the finger at him when he was on the floor. So I think that made, like, the bells, like go through the roof. So just saying, there's like, two sides of the story as well.
Super chat. Say what you want, AJ. Say what you want about Connor and all that stuff. And you know what? All these guys can fight each other. You know, I mean, I'm looking at the division right now, and I see Charles Oliveira and Justin Gaethje. Charles Oliveira is a champion. Poirier is ranked 1. Gaethje is ranked 2. Beneil Dariush is ranked 3. Michael Chandler is ranked 4. Tony Ferguson is ranked 5th. Rafael Dos Anjos is ranked 6th. Conor McGregor is ranked 7th. Dan Hooker is ranked 8th. Islam Makhachev, who fights this weekend, is ranked 9th, and Gregor Gillespie is ranked 10th. But I'm going to tell you, I think Islam Makhachev beats champion through 8, and he's not going to get the shot because of number one bullshit fights like Conor McGregor, because of names, because of bullshit. But Islam Makhachev is the real deal, and if it's not Islam Makhachev, it's Damir Ismagulagov. All right, that's a name we haven't said on the show before, but this guy, this is a bad motherfucker from Russia. This guy's undefeated in the UFC. He's 20-1 as a professional. He's won 15 straight. He just beat a bunch of guys, Rafael Alves, in his last fight. This guy is a savage, and if Damir Ismagulagov, see, nobody knows this guy, but he could probably beat the whole lot of them, and that's the problem with the UFC. It's money over the real shit. Give me the real fighters. Give me the number one fighters. Khabib was the champion as soon as he walked into the UFC. It just took him a long time to get that belt. Nobody was touching him. Khabib beats Rafael Dos Anjos. Rafael goes on a... Khabib smashed him. Tossed him around the octagon. Easy peasy for Khabib. Dos Anjos won like 3 in a row. Fights for the belt. Becomes champion. All of a sudden you're like, wait a second. But what about this Khabib guy? He just fucked that guy up. Why isn't he champion? It's because the UFC is all politics and money and bullshit. And Conor McGregor, you know, he's going to create that logjam. Poirier is getting the shot because he's Poirier and he's a name. And it takes a while to build
he
a name at 155 pounds.
It.
Yeah, of course. He earned it by beating
you're
Conor.
You're dismissing them.
No.
Charles Oliveira's a great champion.
Yes, Fred. But
Makhachev has defeated nobody.
No, Drew Dober,
you know as well as I do.
Dober,
you know as well as I do that these guys are entering their prime. The Islams, the Ismagulagovs, these guys are entering their primes and they're about to become the best. And these guys like Oliveira and Poirier, they've been fighting for a long time, so they've developed a name, but they're exiting their primes. Oliveira is not champion of this division like Khabib was champion of the division. You don't see Charles Oliveira as an unbeatable force. Because you've seen him beat.
Of course not, but he earned his title, man. I mean, he's a champion. Just like Robbie Lawler was a champion, like Tyron Woodley was a champion. I mean, they can't all be GSP, man.
But we reward guys for sticking around rather than being the best sometimes.
True.
Or their name.
And you know what, Dave? Look, I don't agree with you often, but I'm going to tell you one thing. What I do agree with is that you're right about Islam. Back in UFC 242, when Khabib was on that card fighting Dustin Poirier for the interim, if you remember the post-conference, Khabib took his belt and he put it in front of Islam and he says, this is the future champion. You know what I'm saying? It's possible that Khabib already knew that he was leaving the UFC at that point.
Yeah.
But he said, this guy's going to be the future champion, and put
he
the belt
be.
In front of him, in front of his dad. And I agree with Dave on this. Islam is ranked 9 by the UFC. By the ESPN, he's ranked number 8. You know, I mean, Connor was 5th up to last Saturday. Now he's down to 7th. But I'm telling you, you're right. Islam is coming. The storm is coming. It's just a matter of time. He's going to be the champion. If it doesn't happen, it probably won't happen in 2021. You never know. But by 2022, we're going to see another Dagestanian champion. And I'm telling you, Khabib's in his corner. And I agree with Dave on this. This guy is the storm, and he's coming, man. He is dangerous.
He's good.
At all levels.
He's good.
No, no, he's not
he's
good.
Great.
He's great.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying Oliveira earned his title, even though, like, I mean, of course nobody's going to follow in the footsteps of Khabib and be a champion that people are going to regard. I don't like the word as legit, but he is a legit champion. He earned his title. And Dustin Poirier right now, he's on a great streak, man. He lost to Khabib, but what other losses does he have recently, man? I mean, he's defeated a lot of people, and he's evolving. So, yeah, I think they both earned their titles. And you don't like, Islam, I love him, but, like, can he fight somebody real before he gets a title shot? Like, he's going to get there. Let's
yeah.
Listen,
time,
you don't think
man.
But you
was
know,
real?
It's
Come
tough.
On, Freddie.
No. But, I mean, Fred's talking about a big name, and it's tough to get up in those big names because the big names only want to fight each other, and the guy's in the top 10, and it's kind of a – you know, little club there until you kind of break through. And Islam is, you know, the UFC's got to give you a push. You know, the UFC's got to kind of push you on your way. I mean, you look at Islam Makhachev, he's fighting Thiago Moises in this main event. And a guy I just mentioned, Damir Ismagulagov, who doesn't have the name that Islam Makhachev has because he doesn't train with Team Khabib. But this guy was an M1 world champion. This guy is legit as all hell. He already beat Thiago Moises. Ismagulagov beat Thiago Moises like three fights ago. And then he beat this other guy, Rafael Alves. Like, Ismagulagov is under the radar and nobody is paying attention. Meanwhile, this guy's a beast and he might be the next champion, but it might take forever for him to get there. I'm telling you guys, we're going to start talking about... I just want to start talking about these guys that are out there that are in the UFC that could probably beat your favorite champion. When I talk about Magomed Ankalaevs, Yuri Prochaskas, Damir Ismagulagovs, I want to tell you about these guys before they show up in the big conversations and the big fights in the UFC. Khabib was one of these guys. I remember when Khabib fought Kamal Shalarus in his first UFC fight. I was blown away. Kamal Shalarus, a badass Iranian wrestler. Khabib tossed this guy around. I said, this guy is fucking serious. Remember when he came out... He said, if Sambo was easy, it would be called jiu-jitsu. And I was like, this guy is fucking badass. Khabib is crazy, man. You know, I remember Khabib from the old days when Khabib was just making his way. And now we got to pay attention to these new Khabibs, the Damirs, the Islams.
There's so many of them, man.
That's
look,
right.
Look, let's take a look at the fights in Abu Dhabi when we were looking at Khabib's team. It was like literally all of,
a lot
like,
of them.
Dagestan's best coming into Abu Dhabi. Fighting on the same card, I think, wasn't it Corinne that was fighting on that, Laframboise?
Possibly, yeah.
Man, oh man, holy smokes, all those fighters from Dagestan, cornered by Khabib, I'm like, holy shit, man, if these guys get into the UFC or Bellator or like one, wherever they go, man,
they're on the way.
These guys are going to be on the top three. These guys are dangerous, man. There's so many names that I was like, holy shit, what do they feed them in Dagestan? Whatever it is, you want to go to Dagestan to learn how to wrestle because these guys will fuck you up. Khabib,
it makes
we
sense,
always
though.
Said he's
it was
listen,
a matter of
fighting
time.
Bears at 7 years old, man.
Look,
come on.
It's a matter
it's
of
ridiculous.
Time. It's a matter of time that Russia takes over MMA. Because yep. you look at MMA, and what is the most powerful martial art in MMA? What is the most dominant martial art that seems to control the fights? Wrestling. Right?
Wrestling.
You're a really good wrestler. You can dominate in the UFC. Who's got the best wrestlers? Russia. I mean, it's
well,
mathematics.
Dagestan right
it's
now,
simple.
If you want to
But you know
listen,
what I mean? Like that region,
place,
all of Russia, Eastern Europe, you know, they make good, Kazakhstan, all those places, man, Georgia, they make good fucking wrestlers out there. It's no wonder they're starting to come up through the UFC and beat everybody's ass. Like, hey, wrestling is what wins in MMA a lot of times. You got to have everything else, but MMA, you know, wrestling really helps. You know, you get that takedown, you get on top, you could win these rounds. So, not surprised that these guys from out there are winning. You know, I just want to give a shout out to the super chatters, Angelo. Dropping a super chat. He says, Connor's done. Patrick C. Hamilton dropping a super chat as well. He says, no interest in another Connor fight. Reminds me of BJ Penn at the end. Wow. Wow. And
Ooh,
that's
a
big
there.
Statement.
A
that's
point.
A big one. Patrick C. Hamilton, by the way, is the super chat leader of the night right now. Thank you, Patrick.
Nice.
Thank you, Patrick.
Listen.
And Jason says,
look,
not just wrestlers, wrestlers who can grapple. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Wrestlers
like, for example,
who can grapple. They can fucking move because they got the Sambo out there, you know. They got a lot of things going
yeah,
for
but,
them in Russia.
But listen, Dave, I was just about to say, Jason, I was just about to say this, because when you look at a guy like Khabib, his wrestling is like elite, man. Like, he tosses around guys like in their 250-pound range like it's nothing. But the thing with Khabib is he's also a black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. So if you're going to come down to a guy like that who has the elite wrestling and he's a black belt in jiu-jitsu, you know what? And his striking has gotten so much better over his career. Like, if you look at Khabib in the beginning, his boxing wasn't the greatest. But if you look at Khabib when he retired, his boxing improved. It was ridiculous. But you know what?
His finishing as well. I mean, his jiu-jitsu improved.
Yeah.
His jiu-jitsu improved as he got on. He started finishing more fights. He was a lot quicker to finish. His passing was a lot slicker. Like, Khabib just got better, which, you know, that's why it's disappointing that he left when he did, because it seemed like the version of Khabib that we saw in his last fight was the best version of Khabib, which may have been the best mixed martial artist to ever live. So it's too bad that we didn't get to see more of that guy, because that guy seemed unstoppable. And it would have been nice to see him kind of go on and do his thing. But instead we have Conor.
But
we don't get Khabib, we get Conor. No, we don't. Khabib retired.
No, but the beautiful thing about – no, I know he retired, but the beautiful thing about Khabib is that we get to see him developing, like, the future talent. And you know what? If you look at, like, mixed martial arts today, some of these kids, man, that are coming in at 19, 20 years old, I mean, they've got, like, 10, 12 years of experience. And some of it is MMA experience, which is unheard of. Like, the next breed of fighters that are coming up, it's ridiculous, man. And that's the thing with Khabib.
How many years are we going to allow you to use that one? Because, I mean, I feel like you always rehash that one there. Well,
yeah.
That the next generation is going to be incredible. Because, like, I mean, in 5 years, are you still going to be allowed to use it? Because, I mean, we'll have, like, 5 years at least of, you know, high-level young people in MMA.
I know.
Very true.
And I feel we've already had, like, 10 years of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not the same like today, dude. Look at the amount of people that are able to travel around the world to get to the best camps.
It'll never
you
be the
do that
same.
10 years ago? Come on, let's be honest. Some of
it'll
these
never
UFC
be,
fighters are working
always,
second jobs and third jobs.
Yeah.
Well, you know, let's be honest. Nowadays, as a fighter that's up and coming at 16 years old, 17 years old, you have sponsors that are going to give you money, and we know that for a fact, that will be able to send you to – like Thailand to fight Muay Thai, Brazil to get jiu-jitsu.
Let me give you my example, okay? When Rory McDonald started, that's what we were saying about Rory McDonald. Oh, here's this kid that grew up in MMA. Well, I mean, Rory McDonald's pretty old right now. He's not old, but I mean, he's not a kid no more. So, you know, like that story of like this new generation of kids, man, it's been overplayed. Like, of course, you know, they're going to be better from generation.
The sport always evolves, but all sports evolve, AJ. Sports always evolve. All the players get better in every generation.
No,
it
absolutely.
Just happens. Okay, let's get to Conor before AJ goes on another tirade about who knows whatever the fuck. Okay? Conor McGregor talked this week. He did an Instagram thing. Here's his video. Let's talk over Conor and talk about Conor. Angelo just dropped a super chat. Thank you, Angelo. What did he say? Angelo says...
What's up, guys?
Shut up, Conor. Angelo says, can't imagine there being another Khabib ever. Yeah, you're probably right. I think Islam and all these guys, like, you know, they're in Khabib's team, but they're not Khabib. I think people are mistaking them for, oh, yeah, well, they do the same style, same thing. No, Khabib was a unique athlete. I agree with Angelo. I think a lot of guys from that region, though, will have a lot of success in the UFC because of their style and because of their training and because of their techniques. But, yeah, I think Khabib was probably unique in being undefeated and being just this unstoppable force. No, AJ, we're not going to let you comment on that. We're going to move on. Okay?
19-1. Let's go, Conor.
What's 19-1?
Islam, man. He's 19-1 in his career. Okay. If he didn't have that one loss, we probably would be saying something.
You would be saying something. You're always saying something.
Come on, Conor.
What's up, guys?
Speak to me. What's up,
Connor? Just had to get now to hospital.
Where are you?
Getting settled into my apartment. I'm going to be here for a while. It's close to the doctors. And they have one of these things to get around on.
He's in California. He's in California. He's driving one of those scooters that Verdun teenagers drive.
I love George Costanza.
Yeah.
Keep a positive mindset.
Look how happy he is on the scooter.
Okay, we go this way.
He's really happy to be on this thing. He's like just having a good time.
I had a couple of ups and downs the last couple of days. I had a great birthday yesterday. I appreciate all the birthday messages all you guys sent me. Thanks so much for that. You know, I came out of surgery. I was feeling, you know, very euphoric. The job was done. It was a great job that was done on it. And I was like, yes, I've got this. It's going to be easy. I'm going to do this, no problem. And then I hit a wall. Then I was like, you know, I'm in a bit of pain. I'm in a lot of pain. My mobility is, you know, I'm going to be like this for a while. It's not going to be a few days or even a few weeks. It's going to be a bit of time. So I kind of went into a little rut after that. But, you know, I know there's going to be ups and downs on this journey that I'm going to be on. And I'm aware of them now. And I'm just a bit more happy, a bit more accepting of it. And, you know, motivated to keep going. Like I said, we got out of hospital on my birthday. Got some fresh air. This is actually the first bit of fresh air I've got.
This is for you, AJ. This is for the Connor fans. The drum up support.
Since I went into the surgery room, so I'm just gonna breathe this lovely Cali air in. Touch base with the doctors again today, and just keep in touch. We're gonna bring the family out in a couple of days to see my kids again.
How long has it been since he's seen his kids? He left his kids in Ireland. He went to train in the States for his whole camp. He spent his birthday. They still haven't come out to California. I guess he planned to go back to Ireland, but now he's got to stay in California and rehab his shit. Good God. They must have a team of nannies helping take care of all that shit, but like, he's living the good life still. You could tell how he's still living it up. Like, he got his leg broken, but like, yeah, Angelo doesn't believe he's motivated to come back, and I don't either. Look at him.
Keep the head sharp, you know. I've got this. I've got a great team behind me. I want to thank all my team, you know, from my coaches, my training partners, my family, my friends, just everyone that's been supporting me, all my business partners, you know, of course, all the medical staff. I'm just extremely grateful for every single one of yous.
That's you, AJ. He's grateful for you.
And I'm motivated to go and do this. And I'm going to do this. I'm going to come back. The leg is better than ever.
I was
injured going into the fight. People are asking me, when was the leg?
He just said, the leg is better than ever. He can't walk. How is his leg better than ever?
He's got a hockey stick.
At what point did the leg break? Ask Dana White, ask the UFC, ask Dr. Davidson, the head doctor of the UFC. They knew I had stress fractures in my leg going into that cage. There was debate about pulling the thing out because I was sparring with no shin pads and I was kicking. I kicked the knee a few times. So I had multiple stress fractures in the shin bone above the ankle. And then I have trouble with the ankle anyway, do you know what I mean, throughout the year.
Dr. AJ, what's a stress fracture?
Well, pretty much it's like the wear and tear over time. And the thing, honestly, it really does happen. It happens a lot to, like, runners that run for many, many years where they get, like, shin splints and whatnot, hip fractures and whatnot. That's the problem. The guy is 33 years old, well, 32, 33, and he already has, like, stress fractures and whatnot. That's not a good sign. That means that they're going to have to do, like, serious studies on bone density and whatnot. But
Dr. AJ,
Angelo's got a point.
Thank you, medical Dr. AJ. Let's hear Connor.
Come on, Connor. You can do it.
So
AJ is not a medical doctor.
And I also was wrapping my ankle. I was wrapping my ankle every training session. You know, I even done a lot of training sessions where when the ankle was sore, I still wouldn't stop training. I used to just train on my back. And that's how I developed those ground and pound shots from the back. That's why Dustin backed away when he was on top of me. And I was landing the up kicks and the elbows and all. It's a horrible place to be in.
He backed away because Connor, from his back, was grabbing inside the glove of Dustin and pulling him in for those up kicks. It is illegal to do what Connor did. Dustin was backing away to tell the ref that Connor was cheating in the fight.
When you're against someone like me, you can't land. It takes so much effort to try and land shots from your top position. And while you're trying to do that and you're losing your energy, you're getting lumped out by downward elbows and vicious up kicks and... It was a skill I developed because I had the damaged leg and I had to adjust my training. So, you know, now I'm essentially at the getting exactly what I needed to get there.
Pause it.
I needed to get.
You say pause it?
Yeah, you know what? It kills me every time I you know, I saw this like not too long ago, and it just kills me. I mean, the funniest thing about all this is that he's on like this little scooter with his leg up in the air, and he's driving through traffic, and it's like, it's fucking funny, man. The funniest thing would have been if he got into an accident. Then we would have never heard the end of it.
Broke the
but
other
play
leg.
The rest, dude. It's classic. The guy's nuts.
On my leg. I needed to get treatment on the ankle, and I needed to get treatment on the shin bone. And I would have never committed to going under the knife unless something like this has happened. So something like this has happened. I'm at the going in, I'm at the getting exactly what I needed. And what I needed was a titanium shin bone. So now I've got a titanium rod going down the knee, from the knee to my ankle. And the doctor said it's unbreakable. So once I build back, you know, first of all, manage the incision, the cut, you know, make sure it doesn't get infected, keep the health on it, keep building back that way. Then I'll start playing with the balance, learning how to stand on it again, learning how to balance on the single leg again. Then I'll build the strength, and then I've got an unbreakable titanium leg. I was talking to my physical therapist.
Hold on. He thinks the titanium leg makes him stronger. You remember when Lex Luger, they said he had like a titanium plate in his
exactly
arm?
That's what came to mind.
Fred, you remember that? Lex Luger was like, I got a titanium plate in my arm. So he'd clothesline people and they would like go unconscious. Is that what's going to happen when Connor kicks people in the head
exactly.
that just die because he's got titanium legs? I don't think it makes you stronger. I think, yeah, I guess it's there, but I don't think it's better than, you know,
but
your
Dave,
bones.
But let's think about this. Today is Thursday. This shit happened this morning. His leg snapped on Saturday. You got to give the guy some credit because he's completely, like, tough,
I'll
crazy.
Give medicine
Here
credit.
He is on a Thursday morning on a scooter when his leg snapped on Saturday.
Yeah, he's
Think
not
about
walking
it,
on it.
If that happened to me, you would still be coming to the hospital and visiting me because I'd still be unconscious and putting as much, like, fucking drugs in me
he's
as possible.
Seeing,
That's
he's
crazy.
Seeing private
shit.
Doctors in California. And if you give him a second, you can see that he doesn't have the same doctors and medical care that somebody like you or me might have. His physical therapist, he's about to tell you who else his physical therapist sees in California.
He was with Arnold Schwarzenegger, his other half. And I was saying,
okay, you hear that?
And then I've got an unbreakable titanium leg.
Listen.
I was talking to my physical therapist, Heather, who was with Arnold Schwarzenegger, his other half. And I was saying, I'm like Arnie in Terminator 2. You know what I mean? So I cruise around the Cali streets.
Yeah.
Getting a bit of fresh air.
You are like Arnold Schwarzenegger in Terminator 2. You're a fucking actor.
Oh, man.
You're a celebrity.
Dude, he's insane.
And just keeping the head sharp. So I just want to get on, give you a little update. I want to thank you all so much for the messages of support. I appreciate every single one of you. And, you know, let's do it. I've also got the Tidal Sport. I'm very happy with the Tidal Sport recovery spray.
Selling
that's gonna,
shit.
That's going to have me back here as well. You know, it's going to keep the swelling down. You know, once the cut heals and I can put the Tidal on it. So I've got all the tools to do this, and I'm gonna do it. And I'm excited
Except
about it.
Leg, man.
You know what a story it's gonna be. So let's go. Let's go, team.
Let's go, team. Go, team.
Da 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 da.
Now he's singing.
It's the motherfucking D-O-double-G. Love yous all, guys. Love the bones yous all.
He wants to bone us all. Did you hear that? I'd love to bone you all. What's he saying? He wants to fuck us, Fred.
It's the motherfucking D-O-double-G.
Listen.
I'm not going to go there.
Love yous all, guys. Love the bones yous all.
What?
Let's go. Yous won't stop us. Yous won't beat the Irish. Yous won't beat the Mac Man.
It's just sad. It's sad. I feel bad for
Dude,
him,
it's
man.
Funny, man. Dude, it's listen,
it's just,
man.
You see through
guy,
it. It's so transparent.
No, what through it? What? He looked to me. Don't feel bad, man.
He's making so much money.
Who the fuck?
I know.
His next fight, he's going to make a huge paycheck. I mean, that's the Conor McGregor. That's what Conor McGregor is and has been for a while now. And you know what, man? Good for him, man. I'm happy he's making a shitload of money. And he's helping other guys making money. But they'll never be another Conor McGregor, as people like to chant.
There's only one.
He's just... Yeah, he's just his own persona, you know. Like, he's the Hogan. He's whatever. He's the guy that people want to see for whatever reason.
Yeah, he is the Hogan. It's a good comparison because Hogan was never actually, you know, good. He was just famous, you know. He was just, like, the guy that had a lot of personality and was, you know, in the ring, his matches weren't actually good. And Conor's like that, too. In the octagon, he's not actually good anymore. But he's a big star, and people will continue to want to see him fight. I agree with that 110%. And this now, I just want to show this. This is now an iconic MMA photo. This right here. Iconic. Iconic. Will never, ever be forgotten. Joe Rogan sitting there like he's just having a chat
never
with his old
DMT.
Buddy Conor. Yeah, you see that? That was Conor's coach that said that. That was the quote from Conor's coach on that one. I think it's over. AJ, you don't think it's over. AJ, you believe that Conor will be back in the prime? In like the he'll beat.
I don't say he's
going
to come.
He'll beat some. Who do you think he'll beat a guy and be champion again in the UFC? You think he'll ever be a UFC champion?
Man.
Not a BMF Conor McGregor belt bullshit Nate Diaz title. A real championship. Will he ever be ranked number one in the UFC division?
Look, man. The guy wants a fairy tale ending, and
listen,
he wants a fairy tale ending. Everybody wants to see that fairy tale ending, mind you, minus the swearing and all the rest that he does and all the craziness.
But
the truth is, if you come to see Conor, you expect Conor to say this shit and be extremely controversial, like no one's ever been before. No one comes close to Conor, and that's the thing. Will Conor come back?
Yeah, but you're not answering the
100%.
Question. Conor's gonna lose his next fight against Poirier, and then he's gonna go on to probably fight. Yes, Nate.
Listen,
if he manages to win, maybe he gets Nick.
I think
those are going to be the type of fights he gets.
I think it's
from
over.
Now on.
Jake Paul.
Listen, I think no.
Yeah,
none of
that
shit's going to happen anymore.
Away.
Maybe Floyd.
Boxing.
No, you know,
none
weird
of that's
going
to happen.
Floyd
not at
rematch.
All.
Yep. Manny Pacquiao.
I'm telling you, this is
dumb shit.
No, zero. None of that shit's going to happen anymore. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Conor's going to focus on one last fight. It's going to be that fourth fight. If it's Poirier. It could be anybody at that point. But let's say it's Poirier, which we think that's what's probably going to be. Conor's going to fight Poirier because Dana's going to make it happen. And win or lose, you know, he's going to come out like, you know, blaring. Whatever the shit happens, I hope nothing happens like what we just saw on Saturday.
It will.
And he will retire. And I'm telling you, Conor is done. He knows his time is done. But what he has to do is that he has to build up that hype because everybody wants to see it. Nobody saw the ending that we wanted to see for that third fight, a knockout, a choke, a decision. Nobody wants to see someone's leg snap like we saw with Anderson Silva, Weidman. Like, you name it, man. There's some fighters that we saw that you just don't want to see that. Hate it, love them or hate them, you don't want to see anybody's leg snap like that. Because
other than Greg Hardy, man, you don't want to see that.
Yeah,
No, even for Greg, listen, even for Greg Hardy, regardless, I don't want to see that because you know what? I want to see a fair and clean fight. That's the bottom line. And you know what? That's Conor when he does his shit. We've seen that so many times, you know, but it's going to be the blockbuster pay-per-view of all pay-per-views if it happens next year, 2022, January, sometime in the first weeks of January, we're going to see Poirier fighting Conor again. And again, Dave, it was only like January when Conor smashed Cowboy Cerrone, and next January we're going to see Conor again. He fights his best in January. Just telling you.
It's going to be hard to sell Conor having a shot in hell against Dustin Poirier in this.
I think Conor needs a gimme fight.
Yeah.
Like they need
Nate.
To give somebody easy to
come. Nate has the fight.
No,
it's not a gimme.
Well, it's
Cerrone
about as gimme.
Cerrone was a gimme, I feel.
Yeah, but, I mean, what do you do with Conor? Tony Ferguson? Somebody said Tony Ferguson.
Yeah,
that's dangerous.
That would have been amazing.
That's tough, too.
That's dangerous.
There's no easy fights
for
Conor. What do you really do with Conor? Like, you bring out Diego Sanchez?
No, man. Listen, you don't bring out any of those guys because Conor is coming to the end. You're going to put Conor in his last fight for the belt. And that's what he deserves because –
Give him a title shot.
Coming to the end. You're straight to –
He's
done. King.
Give him a title shot.
Or he's done. He's either going to be pierced with the spear or he's going to be wearing the crown. 2022, January, we're going to see Conor again. Just like we saw Anderson Silva come back from that leg injury. How many months was it, Dave, when Anderson Silva came back? It was ridiculous. Mind you, he had all kinds of like steroids in him. But shit happens. But we'll see Conor. Conor will be back.
Anderson was never the same. So we're
He was never the same. And they'll never be the same. They'll never be the same. Weidman will never be the same.
Conor will never be the same.
Mirko Krokop was never the same.
Conor will never be the same, but his current version isn't good enough. So what's a worse version going to look like? Come on. Let's move on.
Angelo's telling me why should
we're
he get
done.
A wait, let me
we're
just
done.
Answer. Let me answer Angelo. Let me answer Angelo. Because he's saying why should he get a title? It's not me to say that, actually,
about money.
Dana White is going to give it to him. And he said it. He will give him a fourth fight for the title.
Because of bullshit.
If Poirier is around.
Because of
and
money.
That's what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Fred's right.
It's all about the entertainment value. I'm just looking at it from the entertainment side. And that's what Dana wants. And that's what all the big shots want at the
time. Can I just say I'm happy that we won't hear Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman for a couple of months probably talk MMA? Because I think they only come out for...
They will.
I don't think they'll ever come...
Maybe
never again. I think never again. Because they only came out for Conor. Like, those jabronis didn't come out for anybody else.
As I said this, I remember that Kellerman today was talking about Ngannou. So I think, like, maybe they realized that boxing, you know, is not the number one fighting sport no more, so
they just gave up.
They want to jump on the bandwagon.
Listen, man, what we're not talking about is what
boxing
I think is
analysis for an MMA fight. I don't understand that shit. Get out of here with that shit. I don't need that guy.
Well, they have no choice, dude.
Not interested in that. But I'm just saying I'm not interested in their analysis. Like, who cares what they say, man? Like, come on.
They Canada spent their just lives man, penalty you know against who... Haiti.
What are we talking about?
Haiti!
What sport are you talking about?
Gold Cup.
What you talking about?
The Gold Cup, man.
Gold Cup. Gold Cup. What is that? Soccer?
Oh, yeah, the Gold Cup. Yeah.
Yeah,
man.
It's like, I'm not sure exactly what it is. I think it might be like the North American countries.
Well,
is Haiti
in
North
there.
America?
Canada?
Not actually. Sure.
Yeah, apparently
no,
so.
No. That's Caribbean.
Caribbean. It is, Dave. It's actually, it's
Central
it's
America.
So is like Canada. It's Central America. And I think. Yeah.
For real,
we're
in North America?
Well.
You're sure, AJ?
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's Central America. That's why Canada's there, and that's why Qatar is there. I don't know why Qatar is in there. My little intern told me
They've
why,
been
but
invited.
I forgot. But Qatar is in there. What was that?
They've been invited.
Ah, say what?
You pay us enough, man, we'll get you in.
Yeah. So AJ still very happy about Italy winning the Euro Cup. You know, it made me wonder something. Is there another sport where England can play Italy in a final, and it's actually something people give a shit about? Like, are England and Italy good at any sports other than soccer? Like, a lot of these,
who's
like...
The best,
yeah,
who's
MMA,
the best Italian
MMA?
Tennis player? Who's the best Italian
what about
tennis
MMA,
player
man?
Ever?
Come on, guys.
Sorry,
Michael
when's the last
Bisping?
Time England versus Italy had an MMA fight that meant anything?
It's going to happen one day. It's going to happen, I'm telling you.
I don't think so. It's just weird, you know,
Sakara
like...
against Bisping.
You
Did
watch,
that ever happen?
You watch, like, the Euro Cup or the World Cup, and it's like, you know, France versus England or France versus Italy or Spain, and it's like a big match. But I don't think any other sport you'd put those countries in a big game for anything, you know? It's only soccer. Somebody's saying volleyball,
Listen,
but, like,
man,
nobody gives a shit about volleyball. Is
nah,
that even a sport?
Who watches that, man?
If you could play it on a beach and inside,
volleyball.
It's not a real sport.
Well, if you can have a drink in
beach
your hand
volleyball
when you're doing it,
is
like,
great.
It doesn't count.
Take it easy, Fred. I know why you like it.
I know. You know what? I agree with Freddie 100% there. I love watching beach volleyball. It's, like, amazing. When it comes to the Olympics, that's one of the ones I go watch. Hands
See,
down.
I never understood just watching women
Australia.
Play volleyball because they're, like, somewhat attractive. Like, if you want to look at attractive women,
no,
there's a lot of other things
that. We're talking – no.
That's what
you're trying to understand the symbols they're showing behind their back.
Oh. I just don't give a shit about volleyball.
You know, the girl that's not serving, she's always giving a symbol to – a signal. A little bit like baseball, the catcher does, but in volleyball, beach volleyball, they do it behind their hand. AJ knows what I mean.
All right, UFC Vegas coming up on Saturday night. It is Islam Makhachev versus Thiago Moises. Islam is a mega favorite going into this card. Bet99.com has him at minus 715, the favorite. Moises plus 480, the underdog. I'm in agreement there. I think Thiago Moises is tough. He might be difficult to put away. He's a black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, so on the ground, I think Islam may have some trouble with finishing the guy, but I think that he does win. He does out-grapple him and win a probable decision. I like Islam Makhachev over five rounds to get the decision victory over Thiago Moises on Saturday night. I'm looking forward to it, man. I really liked Islam's last fight, that beautiful choke on Drew Dober, that shoulder pressure choke right into the
triangle.
Neck. Into the neck there. It's like an arm triangle choke, but not, you know, he didn't bunch the arm with the neck, you know what I mean? He just kind of drove his shoulder in there. I like Islam Makhachev in this one. I think Islam out-wrestles Thiago Moises, probably outstrikes him as well. Don't forget he's got a knockout win over Gleison Tibau. I like Islam here for the win. That last choke there on Drew Dober was beautiful, the Islam Makhachev. And now he takes on Moises, who I think will be a little bit tougher to put away on the ground, but I think Islam has what it takes to win it on five rounds.
But when you look at, like, wrestling overall, like, Islam has it. And when you look at, like defense and takedown defense, you've got, like, Islam at 96% in the defense and only 63% approximately for Thiago. Listen, man, even if
I'm
it goes down to the
Thiago.
Ground, Islam... What? You're crazy, Freddie.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Thiago because I didn't like how you guys are already crowning Islam as this, like, incredible champion. He hasn't defeated anybody worth anything. At least Thiago has wins against Bobby Green and Michael Johnson, who are guys at least, like, you know, I know who they are.
You don't think Drew Dober? You don't think Drew Dober was like a strong win? Come on, Freddie. And Dave, I must give him credit on this. He's been talking about Islam for like years there. And he said it.
He's good.
He's coming up.
He's
just
good.
Like we said about Cyril Gane. Listen, he's not only good, he's backed by Khabib. And there's one thing with these guys. He's going in there for one thing, to be the champion. That's in his mind. Listen, by the time it's over on Saturday, it's going to be 20-1. And it's going to be the exact same thing like in his last fight. Either the guy's getting submitted or it's going to be a ref stoppage. Islam is a beast. Listen, man, I'm going with the betting odds. You know, there's no doubt about it. Islam is the favorite, and 4-1 he's going to be the one to win on this one. What? For what?
Gold Cup.
Soccer?
Okay. For what? George?
Yeah.
Hockey.
Right. So AJ and I going with the heavy favorite here, Islam Makhachev. Freddie, just out of spite, I think, going.
I think so. Freddie wants to go against us.
Going with the Thiago Moises. Angelo is the super chat leader right now. If you want to beat Angelo, you better jump in right now, or Angelo will be the leader once again, two nights in a row on the Ringside Report Network, killing the game. Misha Tate returns after nearly 5 years away. Oof. She is minus 141, the favorite, coming up against Marion Renault. Renault is actually 44 years of age. Tate is 34, so Tate hasn't been fighting for a long time, but she's actually 10 years younger than Renault. This apparently is going to be Marion Renault's retirement fight. She has lost four in a row, but she has been fighting. I don't know. This is an interesting fight. This is a really interesting fight. It's hard to know what Misha Tate is going to look like at this point.
But if she can't beat a 44-year-old fighter, she's not going to be like in any contention. Like, this is a must-win for Misha Tate.
Yes.
That's how I see it.
She's the favorite. It feels like this is kind of a welcome-back fight for Misha, kind of a setup to bring her back into the division. But we've seen these setup fights go terribly wrong before. Patrick C. Hamilton dropping the super chat to take the lead. Thank you, Patrick. He says, I'm very curious about Islam. I think he says him, but I think he means Islam and Misha. I'm very curious about the two main events for this card as well. I wonder what Misha Tate does on Saturday. I don't know, man. I feel like she's in tough. Marion Renault is tough. She's never been finished in the UFC. Yes, she's lost, but goddamn, Misha Tate hasn't fought since 2016. She did have some big wins in her career, you know? Sarah McMahon, Jessica Ai, Holly Holm, but I don't know, man. What do you think, AJ?
Misha wins. Misha
Look,
by decision.
Pennington. I mean, Misha Tate, I was listening to her on the Matt Serra podcast, like, you know, talking about, like, being a mother and her motherhood, and she's, like, breastfeeding as she's getting into this fight. Like, it was all kinds of, I don't know. She sounded confident. She's coming in here to make a statement. You know, she's fighting a 44-year-old. Not that that's old, but the thing is that this girl hasn't been on her best street. So, you know, Misha Tate is coming in. It's a big name, and the UFC wants her to win. So this is, I think, a setup fight for her, in my opinion, regardless. And, yeah, I mean, you know, I'll put her in my parlay. I'm putting Misha Tate for the win on this.
How's Marion Renault's arm bars? Because I've seen Misha lose to arm bars a couple times. You remember that? You remember Ronda Rousey and Misha Tate? Remember that shit?
Yep.
And now where's Ronda at, you know? Ronda's pregnant.
Oh, Ronda's building houses. She's making
money. Pregnant.
She is?
Yeah.
What the hell, man?
Yeah.
Awesome. Congratulations. Mazel tov. But listen, she's doing very well, Ronda. She's like, she's a real estate mogul.
Oh, you heard that Dana White interview too, AJ?
Yeah.
Parroting Dana White.
You know Dana loves
again.
Dan is on the press. That was his. That was his crush. You know that.
I give you real.
I know that.
Yeah. Well, we've heard. Yeah. I wonder how far that went. Actually, I've heard things recently. Yeah, about Dana and Ronda, and like people are saying, like,
you think it happened? He got his bald head stroke.
There were strong signs that pointed to it being a thing that may have happened, but I don't know. I can't comment, and I don't really care. Fred's right. Who cares?
Damn, I want to see the video.
That's gross. But, you want to see Dana White's penis? You're that desperate to see Dana White's ass and balls? Is that what you're looking
wasn't
for?
Wasn't there a story of him having a sex tape or something at some point?
Yes, and AJ was like desperate to buy it. AJ's like, oh my God, there's a Dana White sex tape? I need that. I need that! I love his bald head.
I couldn't find it, to be honest. Listen, man. I know it's out there, so if anybody has it, send it to Dave at ringsidereport.net.
No! Send it to AJ. Send it to... Let's see. What's your email address?
Don't do it, Dave. Don't
Let's
do it, man.
Let's see.
Don't give the...
It might be
Lucy's. Crazy, give my daddy, bro.
Anthony Jr. Dot D'Alessio. At
No, don't have to work, but not the
Hot
work.
Are you nervous now? You nervous, AJ? I was about
Hot
to give
mail.
Your work email out to everybody. Anthony Jr. Dot D'Alessio at
all our spots.
At
where does AJ work? Where does AJ work?
Angelo
Ringside
says
report.
Angelo takes the lead again, coming back. He's battling with Patrick tonight. Angelo takes the lead in the Super Chat battle. He says, why is Misha favored even though she hasn't fought a competitive fight in 5 years? I don't know. I guess because she's fighting Marion Renault.
She's fighting a 44-year-old.
She's fighting a 44-year-old who hasn't won in three and a half years. And she's lost four in a row. But she's lost four in a row to some pretty good fighters. I don't know, man. I'm going with Marion Renault. Marion Renault by decision. I think Renault pulls off the upset.
Look, you got a 9-7-1 record for Marion Renault, and you've got an 18-7-0 for Misha Tate. The difference is that Misha Tate has fought like people at the top level. She's coming in with a lot of veteran experience, and you know what? That's how it's going to go. I'm still going with Misha Tate, mind you. She has a shorter reach. I think it's at 66-inch reach opposed to 68. But like Freddie said, it's a 44-year-old fighter that hasn't won in the last four fights. Misha Tate, man. Is going to win this.
All right. Any other fights on this card you guys care to comment on?
Well, not really on this fight, but I'm surprised about the last fight. What I wanted to give is like some serious kudos to my favorite fighter.
Got
to
give it to him.
Right now, Chris Moutinho, man, fighting Sean O'Malley. This guy, Moutinho, Dave, I know you don't like him, but... Everything
it's
I saw,
I don't like
was,
him. It's just I don't understand what you're talking about
listen,
him now.
I love this guy
Chris.
Because
that's
I want
what I'll call
listen.
Him.
I want listen. I don't give a
what
shit.
What are you calling
when
him?
When I look at this guy,
0-3, because that's what Chris. He's going to be in the UFC before getting fired.
Yeah. No, he's not, man.
Three
listen,
and out.
This guy is one. This guy is one of
three
the most exciting
Moutinho.
Fighters I've seen in a long
three
time.
Three and out, Moutinho.
I was trying to figure out. Listen, I was
kick the field goal, Moutinho. You're out, baby. It's over. Punt, Moutinho. Three and out. Punt!
No. Listen,
I'm calling the punt.
Moutinho
the punt.
This guy fight,
three and out, baby.
This guy got 250 significant strikes thrown at him. The guy was getting peppered, and he still stood there, and he kept fighting.
That's
I
not
saw
talent,
him in an interview
man.
This week.
He was getting peppered and assaulted.
I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit.
Getting hit a lot against is not a skill.
Again for no reason. Huh? But I'm going to tell you who he reminds me of. If you look at this guy, he reminds me of Diaz, Sanchez, Blake Guida, and even Mayhem put in one. This guy is something that comes out to fight and he's exciting. Win or lose, Chris Moutinho got 75,000 for performance of the night. The guy is awesome, and I hope to see him fight again. Give this guy a contract; he deserves it. Hands
down,
Chris Moutinho.
We never do our bets, me and you, so we gotta bet some bagels or whatever. I'm telling you, he's going 0-3.
Villamar.
Like, I'm standing by that.
0-3.
You wanna bet what?
0-3.
I'm saying
he doesn't win a single fight in.
Yeah.
He loses his next two fights in the UFC.
No, I'm telling you, he's going to win them. Because if you can't knock out this
bet, AJ, put your bagels where your mouth is.
Wait. Johnny sent me a message saying that you still owe me two dozen bagels, Dave.
Do I? I didn't bring them to you?
Yeah. No, you didn't bring them to me. Two dozen bagels you still owe me. So
I think
I'm
I brought
putting
them
up
to you.
No, you didn't. A dozen bagels, Freddie, for Chris Moutinho to be the next face where everybody wants to see on a fight. This guy was unbelievable. O'Malley couldn't put him away.
Shut up, AJ. I want your parlay for the fights on Saturday. I want your parlay for the fights. I'm going to give you my parlay first, all right? Usually I ask for your guys' parlay first, but I'm going to do mine's first. I've got, mine's. I've got Islam, Marion. I'm going with Montserrat Ruiz for a huge dog. I think she comes through. And I like Francisco Nazareno.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, four-fight parlay, $20 on it. Go to bet99.com. Use that promo code ringside. When you do, you get a matching deposit bonus of up to $600. They will match your initial deposit to up to $600 when you use that promo code ringside over at bet99.com. So there is Team Dave Parlay, Islam Makhachev, Marion Renault, Montserrat Ruiz plus 400, and Francisco Nazareno to beat Malcolm Gordon. Sorry, Malcolm, but you beat my boy James Mancini, so I can't bet on you anymore. $20 plus 1510 is the odds. Total to win is 322. Team Dave Parlay. You got to bet against Malcolm Gordon, man. You can't, good guy, Canadian fighter, but he beat our buddy James. That's not cool.
Listen, Malcolm Gordon is.
He should have laid down.
I met this guy. He's awesome, man. Malcolm Gordon was awesome.
I know. Yeah. I like him.
Who's up next, Freddy?
I like him. I just think he's going to lose the fight on Saturday. You can go if you're ready.
This guy fights well. Yeah, you want me to go or Freddy? You want to go?
Go, AJ.
I'm easy, okay, man. So I got Misha Tate and Moise.
That's it.
Misha and Moises.
Yep.
Misha and Moises connection. $20. That's Team Freddy. Misha and Moises. Right there. You see that? You see it? There you go. Plus 891, $20. 198.36. Pretty good. Team Freddy, Misha, and Moises parlay. Freddy going against me on the main events here. Freddy, I got Marion and Islam. You got Tiago and Misha. ¿Qué pasa? AJ?
Damn it. Listen, first of all, I want to apologize to everybody.
No, first of all, could you just fucking give me your parlay? I mean, sometimes we lose. I broke even on Saturday.
Bad loss.
Yeah,
that was
well,
a bad
I lost
loss,
with
dude.
Ryan Hall, but I made it back on Dustin Poirier. So you win some, you lose some. And
okay,
Dreykus,
here we go. So
I had my man Duplessis, right? I had Dreykus, Sean O'Malley, and Dustin Poirier parlay. That one was good. What do you got for
me? That was a good one.
Dreykus.
So listen to this. So I'm going with Islam on this. I'm going with Misha Tate. I'm going to go with Gamrot.
Misha.
Then I'm
going to
go with the Black Belt Hunter, Vieira, hands down. And I'm even going to go with the submission on that. And then I will end it with Billy as a win for that night.
Billy Quarantillo. So that's
very good, this guy, man.
Many fights on this parlay. There's AJ's parlay for you. Islam Makhachev, Misha Tate, Mateusz Gamrot, Rodolfo Vieira, at -223 and Billy Quarantillo at +135. $20 gets you $193.96, which I think is the exact same payout as Fred's parlay somehow.
What?
It was close.
$8.91. My odd was $8.91.
Oh, okay. His are $8.69, but pretty damn close. So there you
pretty
go.
Close.
Those are the parlays from the Ringside Report team for this coming Saturday night, UFC Vegas 31, Makhachev versus Moises. And that's it. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We appreciate you. Angelo is the Super Chat leader of the night. Thank you, Angelo. Thank you, Patrick.
Greece wins.
Nice back and forth. Angelo, Patrick, nice Super Chat battle. We appreciate you guys supporting the channel. Go to join.ringsidereport.net to subscribe. You could also click the join button right beneath me here on the YouTube channel. You can go to donate.ringsidereport.net. And don't forget, if you're booking your trip to Vegas, go to vegas.ringsidereport.net to book with us. Vegas.ringsidereport.net. Book a trip to Vegas with vegas.ringsidereport.net. And also, if you're looking for the most powerful Surface laptop with the best graphics and gaming experience, you can buy now and get a free update to Windows 11 at surface.ringsidereport.net. Get yourself a Surface laptop and help out the Ringside Report Network at surface.ringsidereport.net. If you got to buy some stuff, buy it through the Ringside Report sponsors because that's how we survive and live and eat. And AJ buys those cool hats that he wears and his very fancy shirts that say jiu-jitsu on them. His fake Supreme
and
shirt
your
to
shoes.
Say jiu-jitsu.
Don't forget your Yeezy, man. I just get like, you know, mid-range stuff. You get like the big stuff because you are the boss of the show. And Freddie, man, Freddie's getting his Skittles.
Freddie's got so much candy.
I'm making my own t-shirt.
What is?
Oh, Freddie's making his own shirt.
What is that? Why'd you make me one, Freddie? Come on. That is cool.
Freddie
looks
originals.
Like Connor. That looks like Connor right there on that little scooter.
Get some of our merch over at merch.ringsidereport.net. Merch.ringsidereport.net for all of our cool stuff. That's it. Follow us on all the things. Follow me at Dave Simon MMA. Follow Ringside Report at Ringside Report on Twitter and Instagram. You can go to ringsidereport.net as well. I'll be back here tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern time, after SmackDown. They're out of the Thunderdome. The WWE's finally back in front of a real live crowd. They're going to be in Houston, Texas tomorrow night, 10 p.m. right after SmackDown. We will break down the action. WWE Money in the Bank is this coming Sunday in front of a real live crowd. No more bullshit. No more Thunderdome. The people are going to let Vince and company how they feel, and we will let them know how we feel as well right here on the Ringside Report Network. See you tomorrow night at 10 p.m. for some wrestling shit.